are now tuned in to DAR Sports Media, Hoopin' and Hollerin', our special end of year awards edition. We've got the whole crew back together after a real busy week last week where everybody was in and out. Brother True was at WrestleMania. I was on my deathbed. We have both returned from those places. So we got the full slate coming up for you guys this week. Hooping and Hollering, Football Friday, draft prospects. We're going to do defensive linemen, offensive linemen, and tight ends. And then Weekend Wrestling will, of course, be quite interesting this week.
Yeah.
And of course, United Football Media every Monday morning for wrap-up of the UFL. But tonight, we are doing end-of-year awards for the NBA. And I want to kick it right off with something that I was a bit of a mail-in question that I was asked on Discord the other night. So for Rookie of the Year, I'm assuming we're all going with Wemby. Yes, no, yes, I'm getting nods. Can't see True. Yeah, Rookie of the Year, Wemby. Yes, True. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
So the question is, and I want you guys to take a moment before you answer. Everybody out there listening, I want you to take a moment before you knee-jerk react to this. By this time next year, will Wemby be the best player in the NBA?
No. No. I didn't even have to think about that. No.
I told you to think about it. But okay. Axe, you're the only one who didn't answer.
No, sir. Still Jokic's lead at the moment.
At the moment, by this time next year, another year of development. You don't think
Wemby is the best player in the league? Wemby is elite, but I'm not ready to give him that in his second year. Especially
give him three to four years, maybe.
Yeah. Okay, that was going to be my next question.
Yeah.
You think year three? By the end of year three, I don't see how he couldn't be. With what he's already doing by year three.
A lot's riding on that, though. Like, a lot rides on that. You know what I'm saying? Like, health. Continued development. I mean, also, if you are the best player and you're still not winning by then, does it really matter? You know what I'm saying? Like, does it really matter if you're not, you know, consistent or, you know, a consistent team? And so it really depends. Like, it's hard to be like, yo, this is the best player in the league. And they, like, 9th seed or 10th seed or 11th seed, even if he's individually putting up amazing numbers. And also, Pop, you got to think about Coach Pop. You know, how much of a leash is Coach Pop going to give him? Because Coach Pop needs to unleash him. And we also haven't seen him play 35 to 37 minutes a night for 82 games. So a lot rides on that. But with the trajectory he's on, like, he should be by the third year, fourth year, top three, you know.
So top, you know, it's feasible. This guy could be a top three or number one by age like 23.
Yes, possible. Coming to the
league. When was the last time we saw that, LeBron? 22 years old and the best player in the league, top three player in the league.
Yeah,
I think that's the only. There's only been a couple. I feel like there's only been a couple guys that's done that in their first couple years in the league, right? I'd say top three, top five. Like,
well, and to me, it's not just how many years he's been in the league, but the age. You know, you got guys before. Jordan was probably a top five player by the end of his third year, but he was, you know, 24, just about 25. This guy could be 22. And arguably the best player in the league, top three, definitely. Tay, you were pretty decisive, saying no, absolutely not. Why do you think that?
Being the best player, like number one, that comes with team success. Like, you have to at least, I would say, you got to win the finals. Like, if I'm thinking about all the people that are called the best player, like Giannis was number one at one point, LeBron, KD, Steph. These are all guys that have won something. These are all guys, Finals MVP, Kawhi. And I don't think the Spurs are going to be that successful next year. That's why. It's just based off team success. So no,
or anytime soon. Okay.
Averaging 21, 11, and 4 blocks is ridiculous in your rookie year, though. Just want to say that. So
19 years old for most of it.
Yeah.
Insane. So, okay, here we go. Where does this rank of rookie seasons of all time? Is this the best rookie season we've ever seen?
No. Definitely not. Absolutely not. No. I'd say, ooh. I mean, because you got to look at it, right? Like, there's a lack of success with what they do. I think individually, it's probably up there with, like, your, I mean, to me, Jordan still has one of the greatest, obviously, rookie seasons. Magic winning the championship. This is the totality of the season has to matter to be a rookie and your team is like the worst or second worst team in your conference. I can't look at that. Individually, he's doing amazing things, though. I think, you know, the blocks, his defense is what makes this season so special. Because offensively, it's seamless. It's easy. But I don't think it's the best. I think you could probably argue, you know what I'm saying? I still think I would go I don't really want to see Tate's face when I say this. I would go David Robinson over Wimby for in terms of like rookie season, but
he was 24.
That's a personal, you know, that's just a personal preference. But I think what Wimby's doing, I think if Pop unleashed him a little bit earlier and didn't play it so safe in the beginning, I think we could have possibly seen individually a top three rookie season ever. But as it stands now, I can't. I don't feel like I feel like he's had the best rookie season in the last couple of years, but you know, last however many years. But I can't say the best overall because there's just no success. There's no success like with it outside of just stats. And I don't want Wimby to be that guy that puts up what they call empty stats, where like the Spurs are like 11th and 12th for the next 2-3 years, and he's putting up 29 and 12 and 6 blocks and. And we just like, yo, he's so great, though. This is great. But, like, it doesn't equal. It's kind of like Tay said, right? You know, team success can drive that. And I can't look at a rookie whose team is literally in the same place they were last year and be like, yo, this is the greatest rookie season ever. So I can't do that.
Tay, greatest rookie season ever?
Nah. Well, in my lifetime, yeah.
Okay.
But if you count the black and white, like the 90s and stuff, then no. No. But in my lifetime, yeah, I would say had the most dominant rookie season. I would say it's him, Blake Griffin, LeBron, Melo. Yeah, he's up there with them, yeah. In my lifetime, yeah. But in the 90s and stuff, probably not. Like Shaq had a
elite. I was about to say Shaq. I think had a pretty dominant opening season.
Yeah, and in the past 20, yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
Axe, what's the best rookie season you've ever seen?
This is up there. It's top 5. LeBron and Melo's is pretty special. I'm not gonna lie about that. That's just in my lifetime, from my recollection. I was young when AI did his thing his rookie year. I was like 4 years old during that, so I don't really remember. But around like 2001, that's when I really started remembering. So, yeah, I'll say LeBron. Wimby's up there. Wimby's top 5.
All righty. Defensive player of the year. Tay, who do you got?
Well, I got Rudy Gobert. His team.
Boo.
And that's the clear answer. I mean, there's no one else. I wish OG played 65 games. But yeah, Rudy's a clear answer. Like, he will win. Like, it's the future Hall of Famer. He's gonna win again. He's just one of the best rim protectors in the league. Not really all that versatile, but you know, I guess you don't have to be. You're on a great defensive team, and so in the Timberwolves, another thing about defensive player of the year, they won, like, they take into account how good your team is at defense. Like, that's why I don't think Wimby will win, because the Spurs are so bad defensively, because most of the time if you have a special player, a DPOY type talent, they'll make your defense better. Like they'll push your defense to a top 10 defense. Like I feel like that's been every defensive player of the year. They've always been on a top 10 defense, and the Timberwolves are a top 10 defense. I don't think there's anyone else. Like, I think it's a gap. I think Rudy Gobert won it in probably November.
Axe, defensive player of the year.
Yeah, probably wanted to go with Rudolph. Although Jaden McDaniels, they play great defense. Like Timberwolves, they hold teams to low shooting percentage. They can test, play at a slow pace, hold teams under their average. So, gotta say Rudy. I mean, it'd be weird to say he's the fourth time, but I mean, can't really think of too many other players. You know, Derek White's a great defender.
Kawhi's I mean, Tay has a point. Four-time defensive player of the year. He's basically a Hall of Famer.
He is.
Is that what you're willing to do?
First ballot.
Oh my gosh. I'm not talking to you, Tay. I'm talking to Axe.
I mean, Ben Wallace is in there. Man. Dennis Rodman's in there. So Rudy Gobert get in there. Because if Ben Wallace is in, Rudy's in. It sounds crazy to say that.
Why are you saying that?
That's crazy.
Why are you comparing him? Like, Rudy, you know, Rudy's Ben Wallace, right?
You
do know that, right? He literally clears Ben Wallace. Why are you comparing him? Rudy just
take.
He's on another level.
I mean, I was just, you know.
Okay, so you know.
I didn't really have a wide offensive game. So I was just comparing.
True, save me from this French invasion.
I wish I could. I honestly wish I could. But
another vote for the Hall of Famer, Rudy Gobert.
Well, if OG played more games, I would have gave it to OG. But I mean, honestly, another person who I wish would have played more games and didn't get suspended and also wasn't a dickhead was Draymond. I think there's been a turnaround with the Warriors defense the last 30-35 games, and I think it starts with him because Kuminga hasn't shown promise defensively. Wiggins took a while. And I think Draymond was kind of turning the tide. So I feel like if the Warriors had got their shit together, because they've actually been a fairly consistent team the last 30-35 games. I think they're like 24-11 or something like that in their last 35 or some shit. But I mean, who else? I don't really know who else I could pick. I would love to pick Wemby, but the metrics don't support that in terms of team defense and success. I would never pick anybody off the Celtics, no matter what. Even though Axe has a point, Derek White was been a solid defender this year. I'm pretty sure he'll make all defense for sure. But I mean, if you gotta give it to somebody, they're probably gonna give it to somebody in those top three teams, top four teams. And I don't think Giannis really fits the description this year. Nobody on the Cavs really sticks out as consistent. I mean, it's like a default. To me, it's like a default. You know, Timberwolves defense, solid all year, just about, and they lost Cat, and they still kind of holding, you know, treading water and not completely falling off defensively. It trust me, it pains me to say it, but I would have to give it to Rudolph Gobert. I don't want to, but he's probably gonna win it because there's nobody else that would even really fit. I think the new rule, where you got to play 65. I think it takes a lot of guys who would maybe play 55 or 60, kind of out of the running or got injured. Like Embiid had been in the runnings before. I think Giannis. He just hasn't been as focused defensively because of the fact I think he's making up too much ground because they have no defensive backcourt, so it's kind of hard to give it to Giannis. But I guess I'll go with Rudy. I apologize I couldn't save you from the French invasion, and I wanted to, and I racked my brain as I was listening trying to see if I could toss anybody out there, but nobody really fits this year. Sucks, actually.
First ballot Hall of Famer, Rudy Gobert.
I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, but I don't. First ballot is just. I don't. First ballot would be reserved for like your KDs, your Stephs, your LeBrons. Those are first ballots. Rudy is like that guy who you like, all right, he ain't gonna get in at first. He ain't getting in at first, but he gonna get in. You know, what? Like Draymond in the first, like Draymond not a first ballot Hall of Famer. I don't, you know, he not a first ballot Hall of Famer. Who else? Andre Iguodala. They say he's a Hall of Famer. So you know what? We just let anybody in, right? You know, Stromile, Swift. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe if Vince Carter, if Vince Carter was first ballot, Rudy Gobert is definitely
Vince Carter ballot. Vince Carter shouldn't be first ballot either.
Rudy Gobert clearly Vince not. Carter.
Vince Carter should not be first ballot anyway. I think he's a Hall of Famer in terms of his impact and what he did and how long he played. But I think the Hall of Fame, look, the NBA and the WWE Hall of Fame have something in common. It really don't take much for you to get in there, honestly. And as long as you know, you got accolades, you're getting in. So Rudy Gobert, he got the accolades. He about to win his fourth. It disgusts me. Everything about French, the French disgust me in general, but Rudy Gobert really disgusts me. He's the reason why, goddammit, the NBA had COVID and shut down. You not forget, remember, he shut the league down. The bubble was his fault. He would never touch them damn mics. So I don't want to hear nothing. He should get disqualified from the Hall of Fame just for that. Just because he fucked everything up. Just for that. But no, nah, I mean, I don't think there's nobody else.
Most do improved. Most improved player.
I'm going on mute.
Shout out to Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Up his points, 27 points per game. Like dealing with Embiid being hurt, keeping the Sixers treading above water. Also like dealing with the Harden situation, how that thing was going before he got traded, just playing at this high of a level. Jalen Johnson, shout out to him too. He went from 6 points a game to averaging 16, 8 boards, and then 4 assists. Versatile 6'10 forward for the Atlanta Hawks. Like Jalen Johnson, he looked like he's taking the next step. So yeah, Tyrese Maxey, Jalen Johnson. Those be my picks for most improved player. What you think, Tay?
Tyrese Maxey went from star to, I would say, superstar. I mean, kept the 76ers afloat. Just overall made the most improvement out of any player. Because I think it's harder to go from 20 to 26 than 11 to 16 points per game. I think it's a lot harder when you hit the 20s to go up and up in the 20s. So, yeah, he just had the most improvement by far. Tyrese Maxey won the award again in November.
True.
I'm going to go with Jonathan Kuminga for several reasons. One, Jonathan Kuminga was not a part of the starting lineup. He was benched majority of the time. He was not playing last year in the playoffs. And he is the second option now. Because you can also talk about Clay, but Clay was coming off the bench for a while, especially during that start of their win streak. I'm going to go Jonathan Kuminga just because of the fact I do agree with Tate to an extent. It's easier to go from like 6 to 6 or 12 or whatever to, you know, then going from 20 to 26. But then again, I kind of don't agree with that because Ja Morant won most improved player for going from 20 to 26 to 27. And I didn't think that was fair because I was like, why would Ja Morant win that? Ja Morant was like runner-up for rookie of the year, like literally the year before, right? And then he goes from that to winning most improved player. I think Tyrese Maxey with James Harden and Joel Embiid on the team was averaging 20 points a game. He had already shown he could have, you know, all-star type numbers. And then James Harden goes out, so that means he's going to have the ball a little bit more. And he, you know, steps up his game a little bit and raises his numbers. I think, unfortunately, since Embiid's been out, the 76ers have not really stayed afloat. They were, what, second or third when Embiid went out? And now they're, you know, right there, you know. Luckily, the Bulls and the Hawks suck because they haven't fell too far in the play-in. But they're like 7-8. So I would say, for me, Jonathan Kuminga, Kobe White, just because I thought Coby White sucked last year. I didn't think Tyrese Maxey sucked last year. I didn't think he was terrible last year. I thought Coby White was a mess. I thought Jonathan Kuminga was way too inconsistent last year. And I think even with some of his you know, shortcomings and stuff like that, I think those two are what the epitome of most improved should be, because they weren't given the keys to be number one option, or now James Harden is gone, you're number two. It was like, you got to earn your spot here. It was Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan were your top two in Chicago. And then Zach LaVine goes down. But even when Zach LaVine came back for those little bit of games, Coby White was still kind of killing it. So I'm going to go either Kuminga or Coby White. Personally, I want to go Kuminga just because I think nobody expected Kuminga to take another leap like he has. So that's my pick. I think Maxey's getting it because, oh, Embiid was out and you had to step up. Like, I think that's what, as opposed to Kuminga, who outshined when given the chance and took the second, being the second option from a Clay, from an Andrew Wiggins. He sent Andrew Wiggins and Clay to the bench. I think that, to me, meant more than Tyrese Maxey being given number two spot and just bumping up his, like, naturally he was going to have a bump up in production. So that's my thing.
MV.
All right, I'm out of here.
No, I don't think so. I think we're going to probably be universal. Go ahead, Axe.
Yeah, I'm rolling with Luka. 34-10-9.
Oh, no!
34-10-9. And that team's in fifth place. 9-1 in their last 10 games. Like, can't deny it. Like, they playing well.
A devil went down to Georgia scenario for true. He set this bar that he never thought that they would get to. He didn't think he was going to deal with this.
No, I thought they would.
Now they got to
fit. I thought they would. Okay. I thought they would get there. The schedule was a little bit better for them, and then the schedule sucked for everybody else. The Pelicans fell off because no Brandon Ingram, and then the Kings lost Malik Monk. So, like, everything kind of worked out. I still think, however, I don't want to give him the MVP because Kyrie could go out there and give you 47 any given night. So, I don't have him as my MVP. But I think if the league has the final say, Luka probably will get it. Just because I think the Denver Nuggets are floundering a little bit here and there. So I think they'll try to give it to Luka, but I don't think Luka should win it. That's my opinion.
Honestly, I feel like the league has kind of been waiting for this. You know what I mean? For him to really get to that legitimate, he's in the argument, the MVP conversation.
They needed it.
I feel like you need to at least let the first round go by before you declare this. Because if you get knocked out in the first round, I don't know if you're the MVP.
I still think SGA is MVP only because of the fact that Thunder has struggled a little bit in the games he's been out. Like, they've really struggled. So it's like Jalen Williams can step up. Chet has not stepped up in his absence like that. Lou Dort is not going to step up. You know, it's like, man, if Luka was out, what, one of those games against the Warriors, right? And Kyrie was like being a team leader. And I think, and even next to Luka, Kyrie was putting up 35, 47, 40. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like it's kind of like Kyrie is the perfect 1B / second option. He's not, you know, he probably won't be your best, you know, first option. But I feel like he compliments the people. Like, he compliments stars well, right? If he plays with a real star, like, he can compliment them well. I think the only issue he ever had in Boston was that Tatum was still a growing star. And I would have kind of liked to see, if you know, how Kyrie would have been able to play with Jason Tatum, this Jason Tatum, you know what I mean? Like, superstar, not like rookie second year Jason Tatum, but like superstar Jason Tatum. See how that would have worked out. But I'm going to go SGA personally. I think out of everything, he would be the guy that he keeps. I mean, because nobody expected the Thunder to be where they are. And so to take a team who nobody expected to go from that to this, to be fighting for a top three, you know, seed. And when you were healthy, they were number one, number two. And I think he came back. I think he's back, you know, this recent game they had. But, you know, they've they've struggled without him. And I think his value is very important. And there's no Kyrie-esque player that if he's missing, you could turn to get you 40, 45. At least not yet. I don't think Jalen Williams is quite there yet. I think he has the potential to be there, though. So in a year or two, we might be talking a whole different conversation about the Thunder and their two-headed monster in terms of – or three-headed monster, really, with Jalen, SGA, and Chet. Like, they have the potential to be that. But I want to go with SGA just because it's like nobody was putting him in those conversations for a long time. And Luka was struggling most of the year. And that bottom 7, 8, 9, 10, they were struggling. They got hot at the right time. It's like if you want to give somebody from the Lakers MVP consideration, right? Because they got hot at the right time. They were struggling most of the year too. You know what I mean? So it's just the seeding right now. I think he's fifth or sixth or something like that. So he's got there to where it's an argument now. I feel like it's a real argument, but I still think SGA consistently with his seeding and also just being consistent. I think he made history too this year, right? So with the most, 30-point games in Oklahoma City Thunder history in a season. So, you know, like I'm saying, he don't have no second option that's as talented as Kyrie. So I'm going to still go SGA.
Tay, we're excited to hear this. Tay's takes. Who's the Tay's takes MVP of the NBA this year?
Oh, Luka. He's a leader on the Mavs in points, rebounds, assists, and steals. Everything but blocks. Team is now the fifth seed for people, you know, for people who care. Yeah, this overall just been the best player, shooting 39% from three. Like, I mean, you know, it's when you watch basketball, he looks like the best player on the court every game, all the time. You know, like especially after All-Star break, after the trades, after the deadline, like the Mavs really turned it up. They struggled right after All-Star break, but then after that, they completely turned it up. They shot up the standings, and yeah, now they're sitting at the 50 right now. So yeah, I'll definitely give it to Luka, like no question about it.
Who is your guys? You can do this any format that you want. I just want five players. If you want to go by position, go by position. If you want to just give me five in no order, go ahead. Who's your all NBA? Who's your top five players this year? Axe.
For my first team, I'm going to roll with Luka, SGA, Tatum, Giannis, and Jokic.
I don't hate it. True. What about you?
Probably mostly the same. SGA, Luka, Giannis, Jokic. I guess I want to go Tatum. I'm trying to think, is there anybody, like any wing that I think was on the, like right on the cusp with Tatum, and I'm drawing a blank, and I feel like, yeah, I'm drawing a blank. I can't think of anybody that was a wing that would be over Tatum, and especially since Tatum started to have that little bit of a MVP talk at one point. I think I had to probably go with the same five that X went. I think that's, it's very hard to make an argument for anybody else. Although, If I was playing devil's advocate, and I can't believe I'm saying this, and Tay, I don't even know if Tay would agree with me on this. I would consider putting Jalen Brunson, if it was not like a positional thing, I would consider putting Jalen Brunson.
It's not.
I would consider putting Jalen. I mean, the way they do it, though, the way they do
you
it.
You just changed it. It's the first year. It's not. It's just the best five players.
Yeah, well, if that's the case. I mean, that's what I was saying to you guys. You're just your best five players. Switch,
yeah. Then I will. Yeah, because fuck the Celtics. I'm gonna take Tatum off, put Jalen Brunson. Like personally, I'm just all you know, right. I think Jalen Brunson is the heartbeat of the Knicks. You know, we know that Julius Randle is gonna be out, and we don't know what that's gonna look like in general for him next year. Very serious injury. But I think Jalen Brunson has exceeded most expectations of him this season. the Knicks becoming a, you know, potentially perennial playoff team, I got to go with Jalen Brunson. He's had some amazing games, dropping 40 here, and he dropped 60 or something like that one night.
In a loss.
But, I mean, most people who drop 60 or 70 lose. I don't understand. Like, this year, it's like everybody dropping 60, 70 in a weird loss. But I would go Jalen Brunson over Tatum, even though that's a flip a coin thing. But Jalen Brunson, to me, he's becoming one of my favorite players to watch. So.
I'm not mad at Brunson on the first team, but for our listeners, Tatum is averaging 27, 8 boards.
I don't need your stats. I don't need your stats, Max.
He wasn't going to let it slide.
I don't need your stats.
He's going to be on the first team.
I don't give a damn. I don't give a damn, Max. I don't give a damn. Jalen Brunson is 5'6", and he's out there putting on, dropping 60. I will go with that. I'm gonna roll with that. Don't get me wrong. Tatum's great, and I would have, but I'm not putting no Celtics in the All NBA. I just can't. I mean, I actually think if we ever did a second team, I think Jaylen Brown could have an argument for second team. I think he was that stretch he had where he was just cooking.
Well, I was gonna tell you guys, give me two bubble guys, a 6 and a 7. So I guess.
Oh no, Jaylen Brown would not be my bubble. No, absolutely not. No.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely not. No. But Tatum,
top 5, and then you can give me a 6 and a 7, 2 bubble guys. Right.
For the first team, because now this is the first year, it is positionless. So I mean, if it's all guards and it's all guards, SGA, Jokic, Luka, Tatum, Giannis, I mean, those are just the best 5 players in the league this season. And I would say for like a 6 and 7, I'll just do 6. I'll say Jalen Brunson is outside looking in. Yeah, I definitely think so. Just means a lot to his team, especially teams been injured, you know, stuff like that. So I would probably say Anthony Edwards and Jalen Brunson are my two like outside looking in guys.
Yeah. Anthony Edwards is on your bubble, Axe.
Yeah, averaging 26 a game. Like, was able to keep him afloat when Karl Anthony Towns, who's another all-star, averaged 22 a game. Like, he was out for a couple months, and they were still able to be top 3 in the West. So, yeah, definitely Anthony Edwards wanted to shout him out.
I was just about to say, anybody, you guys got any honorable mentions, shout-outs, favorite player this year, but I know that. So, Jalen Brunson probably for true. Tay, Jalen Brunson, and then Axe, Anthony Edwards.
Oh, does it have to be all stars?
It don't got to be anybody. Just who you. Who else do you want to?
Oh, my favorite player this season. Oh, come on, I don't even think y'all want me to do it.
Somebody you want to shout out here at the end of the year awards.
You better
shout out to my man's OG Anunoby. We gave them 2 garbage cans. Brought back OG, best defender.
You not disrespect Emmanuel Quickly.
Emmanuel Quickly is not a garbage can, brother. Don't do that.
See, I'm offended because you didn't have the guts, the intestinal fortitude to put him over the Frenchman.
He didn't play enough defensive games. Player of the year. That's why. He ain't played enough games.
Okay.
Yeah. I would have chosen him over the Frenchman if he played enough games.
Yeah, say, that's the NBA's games. Rules, not fucking DAR rules.
Well, I mean, if it was like that, then yeah, I would have picked the best defender in my lifetime. But, you know, that's a future Hall of Famer right there.
There we go.
You can't even say it without laughing. That's the
first. Well, you know what Richard Gates ain't getting no. He ain't got the juice like that.
OG is great, though. OG is great.
Ask anybody else you wanted to shout out?
Shout to Paolo Banchero. Like, for them to be top 4 in the Eastern Conference at this point in the season, like, he's been an excellent player. He don't get enough love. The Magic, they only had 1 national TV game, unfortunately.
God damn. I'm excited to see them get some national TV love now the playoffs are going on.
Yeah. They got a couple of 20-point scores. Like, they got a really good team.
I'm going to shout out Jalen Suggs from Orlando Magic, not because he's an all-star, but because I think he has promise, and anytime anybody in my circle has bet on him to get over 10 points or 15 points, he's always covered. So shout out Jalen Suggs, who is a excellent role player for that team. And I think he will actually be a guy who, I mean, he's not obviously going to take over for, like, you know, Paolo or Franz Wagner, but I think he's a good third option. And I think that he's going to bring some questions for Orlando, right? Because they got a lot of people that they got to look at and be like, are we going to keep this person? You know, the Markelle Fultzes, the Cole Anthony's.
Cole Anthony's a scoring punch off the bench. They keeping him. I think Markelle's out of there, though.
Especially Fultz has to be. I think Fultz has to be because he doesn't really have a defined role with the team anymore, because we've seen Paolo can even play, you know, kind of run point a little bit too. And that changes, I think. I want to actually bring this to y'all because there was a question about who does Paolo's game remind you of? A lot of people said LeBron. I saw some people say Melo. I saw like a couple different, like, does he give you guys anybody else besides like Braun at times and Melo? Or is it like a combination mixture? Because some of his jump shot to me is more Melo than Braun, but his movements, fluidity to me is more Braun than anything. But what you see, X? What do you see when you watch his game?
I do see a little bit of Melo, like a little bit more explosive. I see Glenn Robinson a little bit too. Like he's able to just get quick into his action. Like it's like no wasted movements for real. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, I remember I seen a side by side video one time with like him and Young Braun. He doesn't have that type of athleticism. I say he's more like a mellow Glenn Robinson type with a little bit more athleticism. That's what I see when I see Paolo.
Do you see this goes back to the question? I guess what I was trying to get to was the question that Eric started us off with, right? Do you see Paolo at some point becoming a top five player in the league? Does he have potential to become that? That's a question. I mean, any of y'all can jump in anytime.
At some point, not in the next couple years, but at some point, I could see it. Because haven't seen how many second year players have we seen lead their team to top four seed? When it's them and a third year guy is the guys, like no vets.
Huh? What you think?
How many times we've seen it, like in history?
Can he be top five? No. Top 10, yeah. But top five, he will never be better than Anthony Edwards. He will never be better than Luka. He will never be better than Jokic. Them three off the bat. He will never be better than Shea. He will never be better than Tatum.
Jokic is old, though. Jokic's getting old, yo.
Jokic is like 28.
He's like almost 30. Yeah,
In Tay's book, but not real life.
I mean,
Jokic plays an old man's game already, so it ain't like it's gonna change.
Right.
The older he gets, he got seven more years of being Jokic, man.
Yeah, I don't think. And then there's gonna be younger players coming in after. No, he will never. And Victor, oh my bad, he will never be better than Victor. He's not even better than Victor right now. So no, I gave y'all six players that he will never be better than. So no, he will never touch the top five ever.
So okay, so where do you rank him now? Like right now, second year player, where do you rank him now? Like you top 20, top 25?
Top 25, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll be comfortable giving him 25. Still gotta get some hair on his chest, like with the playoffs and shit.
That's gonna be the one to tell, right? The playoffs this year is gonna be interesting. Very interesting.
And we are gonna be talking about that on next week's pod. Primary thing next week pod. Hooping and Hollering next Wednesday will be the playoff matchups. Playoffs are finally upon us. We're talking about top fives. We hope you keep us in your top five podcast feeds. Again, we're back on the regular schedule. We got Football Friday coming up. Draft prospects, tight ends, defensive line, offensive line, NFL draft coming up real soon. We can't wait. Weekend wrestling is going to be probably pretty wacky this weekend. A lot of stories to tell, a lot of things to talk about.
Absolutely.
Going to be interesting. And of course, United Football Media, tell me about it. Every Monday at 9 a.m., we kick off your week with a recap of whatever happened in the United Football League over the weekend and a preview for the next week coming on up. So check us out there. We're all over the place. We're in different cities. We're outside all weekend at WrestleMania weekend. We got shows every other day. I'm telling you, the world of DAR never stops.